the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
Oh, that was really interesting, mate, yeah.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Extra Inch Podcast. My name is Windy, and I'm joined by my sidekick and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Good evening, Windy.
And our tactics guy, Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
Hello.
And you've just worked me up into a frenzy by talking about Game of Thrones, and I feel ready to podcast. I'm gonna go at this with full energy. I've had the worst day at work that I've had in, I would say, 3 years. And I was like, I put you guys up. We were meant to record an hour ago, and I was like, guys, I can't record just now. I need to have a beer. I got home and I was contemplating cancelling, but then you riled me up by getting me onto the subject of Game of Thrones, and now I'm fully in the mood for some Tottenham podcasting.
Kieran Trippier is in for it right now.
Yeah. Oh, he is gonna get it. He is gonna get it. Yeah, I can't wait. What we're gonna do is talk a little bit about the Premier League season as a whole and sort of look at how our players did on a kind of position by position basis in a sort of generalised way, and hopefully that will spark some interesting discussion about which players we want to keep, which players we could see leaving, and who we might bring in to replace them. But we start off with some positivity. So Bardi's done some prep work for this, and he's written here: the Premier League season is over and four consecutive top four finishes in the top flight is our best run since a run of five between 1959-60 and 1963-64. That's actually remarkably impressive, and just sort of shows how far we've grown as a club under Pochettino, and you know, how incredible he is as a manager, given what we know about the season. And we've spoken numerous times about all the issues that Pochettino has faced this year. So let's just go straight into it and look back at this season. And we'll start off with the goalkeepers. So it's been a funny season for Hugo Lloris. Obviously, off-the-pitch issues have been a main factor in that, in terms of his drink driving and the fallouts of that and how it was handled by Pochettino in the press. And we've gone in on Hugo a couple of times, particularly Bardi and I. But where are you now with him, Bardi? How do you feel about him going forward? How do you feel like he ended the season? And what sort of grade would you give his season overall?
Yeah, you know, at the start of the season, I did go in hard on him a few times. But there's been a shift in him. And I think as the season wore on, he seemed to become a bit more dependable. And I don't know whether it's just I relaxed and I didn't care as much anymore about him, and I kind of written him off, but I thought his kicking improved. And I thought he did okay. And before I was like, we need to get rid of him. But now I can kind of see us persevering with Hugo, at least for another 2 years. I think he's kind of redeemed himself, although his kind of behaviour off the pitch has been bad. On the pitch, I think he's stabilised and his deterioration has kind of plateaued a bit.
And Nathan, you were always of the opinion that there are bigger things to worry about than Hugo Lloris. Is that kind of where you are still?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. And certainly, like, he's ended the season well, which sort of puts any worries out of mind. Like, he's still not great with his feet, but it's not the biggest priority in the world. I think, yeah, so the direction and the narrative of his season, he sort of had a really bad period, he's come through. But, like, it might just be, and this is very sort of stats nerdy, it might just be by chance, it might just be by variance, that if a goalkeeper has a handful of mistakes in a season, he has an okay season. If he has all of those in the space of a couple of months, he looks really bad. But that might just, you know, that might not be anything to do with his own decision-making or his own mentality or anything else. That might just be the way it's gone. But yeah, looking at it sort of more overall, it's definitely not a priority.
Yeah, I think with goalkeepers, when they hit a certain age, when they hit kind of Hugo's age, there's like a path that happens to them. They either completely drop off the cliff and then they're useless, like someone like Casillas, poor guy, shit, I know he had a heart attack and stuff and he's going through some hard times off the field. But his form did drop off the cliff when he hit that kind of age. Whereas goalkeepers like Cech and Buffon were able to kind of adapt themselves and then continue for another 5-6 years. And I have faith that Hugo might be on that kind of Cech and Buffon lineage and be all right heading into his mid-30s.
I'm impressed that you managed to find a non-Italian example to partner Buffon there, which is what you're desperate to say.
And you went with Czech. I mean, for God's sake. The other thing I'd say about Hugo is, given that we're likely to lose Toby out of Ereld, I think it would be silly to get rid of Hugo in the same summer as Toby. We need some stability back there. And given that he's 32, he won't be 33 until December. Surely it's the kind of prime age to get still enjoy a couple more years of Hugo whilst finding a long-term replacement in those 2 years and that becoming a bit of a project. I think that will probably hopefully work out well. Vorm, who's 35 and out of contract in the summer, looks surely likely to leave. Are we agreed on that?
Yeah.
Vorm had a poor season. I mean, he didn't play much, but then after the Inter game, really, that was him done for. And as soon as he hasn't played a minute since. Well, I think he played a couple minutes when Hugo got sent off against PSV, and that's it for him. He's pretty much written off. He seems to be a nice kind of cheerleader in the background, but he's done.
I've always been sort of a lot more fond of Vorm than most Spurs fans, but like once you become third choice and you're old and you're not counting as homegrown, you just have no value at all, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gazzaniga in some senses has had a bit of a breakthrough season in the sense that he was trusted to actually play some matches and didn't disgrace himself. I think he had a good start. He grew in confidence, and then he had a bit of a wobble in a couple of games. But ultimately, he's a safe backup. I think it's safe to say, you know, he's fine as a backup, and I've got no concerns about him generally. Where are you with Gazzaniga, Nathan?
I think there's a view of him that he's sort of a young prospect, and you know, he's getting game time and he's coming through. And like you said, he's had a breakthrough season, but I have a hard time seeing him that way. I'm not really like excited by him. I don't think he's that young, even for a keeper. Hang on, let me.
He's 27.
Okay, he's 27. Yeah. So like, yeah, that's sort of the beginning of a peak age for a keeper. Like I don't really see him as like someone who's like a long-term replacement for Lloris kind of thing.
No.
I think he's a decent squad option for all means, and you know, he's played well when we've needed him, but I don't think he's like the keeper of the future by any means.
Sure. Yeah, so I mean, let's assume then that we go into next season with Lloris and Gazzaniga still part of the squad, and I would like to think that we then fill up the third goalkeeping spot with one of our kind of homegrown youngsters, because you know, like you said about Vorm there, if you're not homegrown and your third choice, what's the point, you know? So hopefully Alfie Whiteman or Brandon Austin can take on the mantle of being the third choice goalkeeper and perhaps even get some minutes in the cup next year. Who knows? So let's move on to the defence, and we'll start off with the centre backs. In a way, that's the easy option, starting off with the centre backs, because I mean, ultimately, we'd like to hold on to all four, wouldn't we? Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Davinson, Sanchez, and Wanfoyth. I think if we could hold on to all four, that'd be great. The likelihood is, though, that we're going to lose Alderweireld. Are we all agreed on that? We think he's going to go?
Not 100%. Sorry, buddy. I wouldn't like bet my life on it.
And why is that?
Just because partly because his performance had kept up through the season, which at least suggested like a degree of professionality. He's not like given up on the club. I don't know, it's stupid to read into, but like on social media and everything, he always, you know, keeps up appearances, speaks positively of the club. And I think he's expecting clubs to come in for him in a way that they might not. And I think, you know, so if a club were going to spend a stupidly high amount of money to buy, is he 29 or now 30-year-old centre-back, then it would be United. I think even United are giving up on him. So he might go, oh, no one's interested. I guess I'll sign a new contract. I wouldn't rule that out anyway.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think every club should be looking at him. He's 30, yeah. But what is it, 25 million release clause, 30 million, something like that?
Yeah.
Which, for a player as good as he is, and I do think he's the best defender I've ever seen at Spurs.
Yep.
I think any team should just go for it. Man City should go for it. You know, they'll get 3 years out of him, and he'll be their best centre back. So why would they not do that? But I'd love to be proven wrong. I'd love to think that he could stick about for another year. That'd be wonderful. Buddy, you are a big Davinson Sanchez fan.
Yeah, I know he's had a kind of mixed season. I think it's possibly the second season syndrome, but I think it's also a combination of some long, hard years of playing football where he's kind of pretty much for 3 or 4 years consistently been playing without a break, and he's moved through different standards of football, different levels, different competitions. And I wouldn't say he's had a step backwards, but maybe I think he outperformed in his first year. He was given a lot of opportunity because Alderweireld injuries and Vertonghen injuries. So he played a lot, and he did more than we expected. I fully believe he'll stay next season. I think there's still a lot to come from him. And you know, it would be ridiculous to move him on at this stage. He's still so young and still got so many kind of the essential traits to be a good defender.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if anyone's sort of saying now that he's not good enough, then they need to revisit Pochettino's history of coaching, because let's not write off any players, let alone one who's sort of had semi-proven himself. He had a really good first year, I thought, as a young player in England playing his first year in the Premier League. And I thought he was fine this season just gone. He wasn't amazing, but he wasn't terrible. He was just sort of fine, and I think he'd do fine again next year. And that brings us to Juan Foyth, who, Nathan, you really like.
Yeah, I've been big on him. What I was watching is footage over in Argentina. Yeah, a really technical player. Obviously, he's still got quite a few mistakes in him, and he's ironing them out. And he's developing physically. I don't really want to see him sort of starting most games next season. I don't think that's his level yet, which means that if we do lose Alderweireld, then maybe we need someone else in there, because I think it's a little early for him. You want to get that stage where he's the fourth choice centre back, which means he will occasionally get games, especially if we move to playing three at the back again, which I think we should, and I do think we'll favour Davinson playing more three at the back games. But yeah, I don't think we want to be in a position where he's starting most games.
And I think we have to assume that Jan Vertonghen is the mainstay of our backline next season, right? He's had another very, very good season. Exceptional performance in the Champions League, left wing back, which just surprised everyone, but is one of the performances of the season, I think, for Spurs. And with Alderweireld potentially going, he's going to become even more vital and will be a sort of a leadership figure at the back there. So are we saying, Bardi, that we need one more centre-back in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, Vertonghen's now 32. He's been amazing. I would like us to go out and sign a number one centre-back and then use Vertonghen, not sparingly, but, you know, as a kind of rotation option, try and build for the future. Because I think the Alderweireld-Vertonghen partnership, I don't know, I've just got this gut feeling that this might be the kind of peak. We might have seen the highest performance between those two, and it's only going to be down. So I think we need to manage that carefully and really start focusing now on what's coming next.
He is fit, though, Vertonghen, isn't he? He's a very fit guy. He strikes me as a player who could potentially carry on playing for another couple of years at the highest level, into his 30s, which might be a great thing for us. Let's talk a little bit about fullbacks, and this is the section where we go a bit quiet and we ponder what on earth we do. We've got ourselves into a right old mess with our fullbacks. So we have five of them. Three of them are right backs, two of them are left backs. And of those, I mean, we probably know that one of them's good enough and we're not sure on the rest. Is that a fair summation?
Even that one is a little complicated because, yeah. And look, he's been really good recently and we're so glad to have him performing that level again. I know that Bardi adores him, but like, he's been a bit iffy and been a bit unsure, and his relationship with Pochettino has maybe been unsure. I think we're probably over that and we can probably just look at him and simplify the fullback issue and say Danny Rose is the keep, the locked on. Yeah. Keep. But yeah, even Rose is a little sort of slightly iffy.
And I guess the other thing is he holds value. So, you know, knowing that we do need a long-term first-choice left-back, if we get a good offer for Rose, I'm not against selling him. I really like the way he's ended the season, and that's been great. But if he can't play two games a week, which we've kind of established that is challenging for him to play two games a week, we're going to be playing two games a week. We need a player who, if needed to be reliable enough to do that, can manage it. And I don't think he can. Okay, so we've spoken about Rose. Ben Davis, anyone?
I'd like to talk a bit about Ben Davis. I think he's probably the left back we'll get rid of. I just don't see... He doesn't have the flexibility of Rose, who can play as a fullback and as a wing back. He doesn't really offer us anything as an attacking outlet, really. You wouldn't even consider him to be a kind of a defensive fullback that you play when you're against a better winger. So I think we'll probably see him moving on, and I don't think he even counts as homegrown in the Champions League squad. Nope. So he's a bit of a weight to carry next year as well.
I do agree with that, the fact that he's a bit of a weight to carry, but I also feel like Pochettino likes him. He gets called Gentle Ben. He's a gentle character. He just sort of comes in, humbly does his job, and then fucks off back to the reserves that don't exist. He's kind of a harmless, what's the harm in having him kind of guy, no? And the fact that he can play left centre back, if we do revert to a back three next year, could be quite useful. Nathan, where do you think it's worth hanging on to Davis?
I think that we want to be looking at replacing left back once we got all our other priorities done. And if you're and if you buy a left back, you have to get rid of a left back, and if you have to get rid of one, it's going to be Davies. Like, he's been good for us. We, you know, he's certainly been good enough to be a second choice left back. Eventually we want to improve there.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. So let's talk about right back. And I just despair at the mess we've got ourselves into at right back. So my big issue is that we've not properly blooded Walker Peters still. So we don't really know what Walker Peters is. We don't have enough information about Kyle Walker Peters to know if he's a realistic right back for Tottenham. So and he's, you know, he's 22 now. He needs to be playing football. I think he leaves this summer, and I don't blame him for doing so. Aurier is not a £24 million right back, but he is a £24 million right back. And Kieran Trippier had the most disastrous season. I mean, after the previous year he'd had, where expectations were raised, people were sort of starting to say he's actually a good right back. I don't think anyone anticipated just how bad it could go for him. He was horrific this year. He was our worst player this last year. Bardi, what do we do with this? What do we do with our right back situation?
I just had a flashback to being a young boy coming home from school with a letter from the teachers, giving it to my mum and just being properly told off. That's what you sounded like. And to be fair, Mr. Miller, I kind of
finally the respect I deserve.
I kind of agree with you. I think all three have been wasted in some way or another, and I think it's time just to put them all in a taxi and send them home.
But other takers, are we realistically going to get rid of all three and get two new right backs in?
Yeah, someone will buy them.
I don't think you want to replace all three at the same time. I think that's dangerous. I think that we have to keep one of Warrior and Trippier and bring one new right back in. And I think we have to keep one. I would keep Trippier. Sorry, Windy. But you don't want to be... If you bring in a new right back and they take a long time to embed or they don't work out at all, you do not want to be relying on Serge Aurier on a regular basis. So I think that we try and move Aurier on, bring someone else in and make Kieran Trippier second choice again.
Yeah, Marseille will buy Aurier. They seem to like our kind of cast-off players. They'll buy him.
I mean, the thing is, he did have some okay games this year. He looked a lot better, but he still hasn't done enough to fully convince me. I don't know. I just find the whole right-back situation so disappointing and frustrating. But okay, so yeah, I think Nathan's probably realistically right that we'll end up keeping one out of three, and it'll probably be Kieran Trippier, depending on the offers we achieve for them, I suppose. We move into midfield, and again, we have a bit of a dilemma there, because we have a lot of players, and we don't really... We either don't have enough information on them to know if they're viable squad members, or they're not good enough. So let's start with Victor Wanyama, who sort of proved his fitness towards the end of the season, but he not in a convincing way. he looked a fraction of the player that he did, you know, at his peak. Bardi, how do you feel about Wanyama at this point?
If we kept Wanyama, he would solely be as a kind of substitute to bring on to try and seal things off like he did. There was a few games, I can't remember, I think it was Man City at home. He came on the pitch last 10, 15 minutes to kind of close it all down. I don't think as a starting player he's got it anymore. I mean, he lasted 45 minutes in the Champions League and then he was seen celebrating but hobbling. I don't think he's got it in him anymore, and he'll go.
Yeah, we can't afford to have players that are just kind of fodder for bringing on the last 10 minutes. He's unreliable and we need to get rid. But again, Nathan, are there going to be any takers for Wanyama?
Yes, and as we sort of mentioned this on the last episode or the one before, maybe, that because he's put in some decent performances recently and because he's managed to complete some games recently, we can sort of talk him up and act like he's back and then sell him.
I mean, he's 27. He's still got years in him if he can stay fit. So for a mid-level Premier League team who's playing realistically one game a week, I think he's a good option there for somebody.
Okay, then we have your favourite Bardi, Eric Dier.
Yeah, we'll keep him because it's just we will. I just don't see. I think Pochettino likes him, but he's got a big decision to make, and I don't think he can. he can no longer continue this kind of dream that he's a centre midfielder. He's not. It's gone. It's finished for him. He was given an opportunity. He did okay. But I think Wanyama carried him a lot. I think he now either has to knuckle down and focus on becoming a centre back, which I think he's a little bit too rash for, or realise he has to take a step down. This levels are too high for him at centre midfield. So I think there's a possibility for him to work as a centre back at Tottenham as a squad filler, but as a centre midfielder at Spurs, he's done.
And how about you, Nathan? Are you happy with the idea of Dier being a bit of a kind of, I don't know, John O'Shea utility man in our squad?
Yeah, I mean, essentially that's his best argument for remaining in the squad, is that he can sort of do a job in various places. I would see if United still want to buy him for £50 million, but yeah, again, like with the right back situation, you've got Wanyama and you've got Dier. You don't really want to kick both out in the same window and have to bring two defensive midfielders in. So you get rid of one, you get rid of Wanyama, and we keep Dier for a little while longer and maybe readdress his situation next season.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We come on to Harry Winks, who was having a really promising season until injury hit again. And, you know, his ankles seem to be made of glass. He's a quality young player, and I think there's a lot to admire in Winks' game. There's some work to do still. He's not perfect, but I really like Harry Winks a lot, and I just wish that he could have a season without injury so we can kind of hang our hat on him and say, yeah, he's the guy in central midfield that will play every game and be one of our main men. Bardi, he grew on you a lot this season, right?
Yeah, if it wasn't for Sissoko, he would have been my most improved player. I think he's been brilliant. And I don't think it's actually his ankle that's caused him this injury. I think it's called a sheath on his hernia or something. It makes me think of sex whenever I hear the word sheath. But it's his sheath that's injured. But I love him. I think he's been great and definitely keep him.
And before we talk about Sissoko, we'll just briefly mention Oliver Skip, who we saw this season. We didn't see a great deal of him, but Nathan, did you like what you saw in Skip?
I did like what I saw of him, but then his absence was very noted. So when he played a league game, played a couple of games around that time too. He came on as a sub, and I thought, okay, yeah, he's decent. You know, I wasn't getting hugely excited about him. And then, you know, when we've had to play a broken Wanyama and Skip has been available, that's been a bit questionable. Certainly, you're not really considering him as a reliable member of the first team going into next season, but you keep him for now.
I'd like to say something on Skip. I was at the Everton game for the final game of the season, and perhaps it's not the best place to judge a player, but I thought he looked more composed. I thought he looked bigger, and I like the cut of his jib. He's growing on me. I don't know whether that's you, Windy, getting into my head, but I kind of like him, and I hope he gets more game time next year.
And I think that's it. I think he's unusual career path in the sense that he's just being slowly brought in and developed from such a young age. Stands him in good stead. I'd like to think that he kind of doubles the number of minutes he's had this season next year, and then we go from there. If he's not going to get those opportunities, then for God's sake, send him out on loan, because what we don't want to do is let him fester in the kind of between Premier League 2 and Premier League realm that Kyle Walker-Peters has been in for these past 2 years. That would not be good for anyone. Let's go Sissoko then. I mean, he was a joke to me. He was genuine genuinely, I thought he was the worst signing we've ever made. I thought he was a terrible footballer. I was sort of translating his performances against his whole career and saying everyone's always been wrong about him. How can it be otherwise? He's just terrible. And then he suddenly became really good and useful and gelled the whole squad. He's loved by everyone. Everyone wants to talk about him all the time. He stands up for his teammates on the pitch. He's single-handedly got us through a couple of games. And he's been the constant in our central midfield, which has been otherwise very much broken. Now, I still don't think he's anything like the perfect player. I don't think he ever will be. He's not the, you know, silkiest on the ball. His dribbling style is messy, to say the least. Technically, he's a bit clumsy. But he's got those kind of intangible qualities that make him such a key component. And I have to say, this year, we wouldn't have done anything like what we have done if we didn't have Sissoko. Bardi, you're a big fan. Talk to us about Mr. Sissoko.
He's a masterful central midfielder. I mean, it doesn't make any sense because his passing is perhaps below average, but what he's like Gattuso on steroids. He's just everywhere, and he's breaking up the play, he's filling spaces, he's covering for Trippier. I mean, can you imagine the season Trippier would have had if it hadn't been for Sissoko? He's been incredible, and he changed the Champions League semi-final. Since he came into the team properly in the Premier League towards the back end of last year, he's been fantastic. And there was that Christmas period where him and Winks were playing week in, week out, and I think we went on a decent run as well. For me, he was my player this season. I thought the story, I mean, we were talking about Game of Thrones, his story arc is incredible. I mean, I really love him. I hope he stays. A while ago, I would have said cash him in, but I think he needs to stay because he's a beautiful footballer.
Nathan, I put this to you. A club in China, I was going to name a Chinese club, but I don't actually know the names of any Chinese clubs. A club in China offers us 30 million for Moussa Sissoko, for 29-year-old Moussa Sissoko this summer. We signed Tanguy and Ndombele. What do we do?
Yeah, I would absolutely sell Moussa Sissoko. And I don't think that, like, I don't want that to be misread. That's not me sort of holding the same view on Sissoko that I used to. You know, we have to acknowledge the season he's had and the way he's performed and the story of the season and all of that. He definitely has a value. I wouldn't sell him for 10 million. I don't know if I'd sell him for 20 million. You know, he has a value to us. He's had a huge value to us this season. Hopefully, he will have much less value to us next season because we'll have bought a legitimate midfield. I don't want to undermine him, but like, he's still not what we want.
I completely agree with everything Nathan has said, but I think as a squad option, we're not gonna go out and buy a squad player who's as robust and sure, doesn't get injured or offers us what, I mean, his spirit and his everything, doesn't complain. I don't think we can go out and find a player like that. And as Spurs, we're not signing anybody, really. I think it's essential we keep hold of someone like him.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I think that's totally fair. I mean, it would be really, really hard to turn down such a big bid for a player who's probably past his peak, and for whom we clearly could upgrade on if we sign someone for a change. But you do sort of feel, I know this is crazy, but it's almost worth keeping around just to keep the squad happy. He's such a popular character, clearly, within the squad. Plus, he can cover a couple of positions. He can play central midfield. He can play on the right. He can play in the three-man midfield. And quite frankly, I'd rather have him as a right wing back than any of our other options there. So I think we keep him, and I think he becomes a less important player next year, but I still think he's a good squad option. We'll move into the attacking midfielders. There's quite a lot to talk about here. I think we'll start off with Eriksen because that's probably the easiest one. Let's just throw it out there. He's leaving, right, Bardi?
Yeah, probably. I don't want him to, but yes, probably.
Nathan?
I like with Alderweireld, but even probably more confident that Eriksen would stay than Alderweireld. I definitely don't think we'll kick both of them, but I've got some help for Eriksen. Maybe that's just delusion because, like, I am terrified of the prospect of losing him.
I think Eriksen comes down to more not him wanting to leave, but who comes in for him. I think there's only a couple of clubs that he would consider leaving for, and it's whether or not he fits in their plans.
Yeah.
If we get close to August and none of those clubs have made a move, I fully expect him to sit down and sign a new contract.
Yeah, for me, he's Eriksen's our most underrated player. I think I wish he didn't take free kicks, and I wish he didn't take corners, because if he didn't, then I think people would appreciate him more. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful player who runs 12 kilometres every match, which is just insane. And my God, will we miss him when he eventually leaves. But let's talk about some of the players who might end up replacing him. So we saw a bit of an evolution of Dele this season, from a second striker who sometimes played on the left to a player who played as an eight quite regularly. Buddy, what did you make of Dele's season, which in some quarters has been criticised?
I don't think the eight role kind of suits him. I think what we saw in the Champions League and in the later Premier League games is that he's more effective the closer he is to the opposition goal. I don't really want to see him playing deeper, because I don't think he has the range of passing, and I still think he's quite an instinctive player. But I think he's had a decent enough season for someone who's come through a World Cup and everything else. 5 goals, 3 assists is really low compared to what we're used to him. But I think that's definitely injuries and playing deeper. But I don't think he's going anywhere this summer, which is a great thing.
And Nathan, what are your expectations for him next season?
Yeah, hopefully he consistently plays further forward, which suits him more. It's good that he's added that sort of string to his bow, and he's helped us out in times of needs and all of the rest of it. But yeah, as well as developing in his ability to play deeper, he's also developed in terms of creativity, and he's also developed in terms of his ability in pressing. Not that he was ever, you know, bad in the area before. He's the boss, man. He's so fucking good. He's brilliant, and I look forward to having a complete season next season.
So you mentioned the P word there. One of our best pressing attacking midfielders is Eric Lamela, who we've spoken about in quite a lot of detail already in the past few podcasts, so I'm not going to link on him too long. But Bardi, he's one you'd like to set free.
I like Eric Lamela as a footballer, but I don't think as a human specimen he's capable to be a squad player, because he's constantly injured. When he comes on, like he did against Ajax, like he had moments against Everton, he's a perfectly fine squad player who I'd like to keep, but I think we can't continue to rely on somebody who's constantly injured.
Yeah, we will probably keep Lucas, who at one point in the season was looking like someone who could be moved on. Nathan, I assume that's massively changed for you now.
I'm still not his biggest fan, and this is terrible PR timing on my end, but the biggest argument in his favour is that we've miscategorised him here, and for Pochettino, he's now a forward. I don't know how it is that Pochettino managed to look at this sort of winger with dodgy decision-making, but a great turn of direction, and said, yeah, this is my centre forwards and I'm going to play him up front ahead of Son. But it really looks like it's working right now. Again, I'm not personally his biggest fan, but he's certainly proven his worth and his reason to stay in the squad for the time being.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair summary. He's, again, an imperfect footballer, but there's enough there to keep him about and to work on. And I still feel like Poch could take him up another level in terms of what he does in the box. I mean, we could talk about GK and Kudu, but let's not. He's going to go, surely.
His one assist, though, ended up being a massive assist.
Yeah, great ball. Hmm. Can't argue with that, but tell me he's leaving.
On assists and expected assists per 90, he's the greatest player who's ever lived. He's putting up 18 expected assists per 90. Do you know that? Can't compete with that.
I don't know. Do you guys remember? Who did we play after Fulham? Was it Southampton? Anyway, he came on against Fulham, got the assist, and all of a sudden it was just like, oh my God, Pochettino's done it again. And then he came on the second league game, and it was just like, no, it was just an anomaly. Get rid. I think it was Crystal Palace. When he started against Crystal Palace, and he looked like a little boy, and he was completely lost. He needs to go, because it's not fair on him as a human being trying to play Premier League football.
he's clearly not up to the task. He's 24. For God's sake, find him a home. Someone find him a home. Let's talk about our strikers. We've got some decisions to make, I think. Obviously, Harry Kane will stay, and I thought he had a good season, but not a great season, and a mixed season, really. Some of his passing in some of the games around Christmas was just absolutely unbelievable, and, you know, we were sort of starting to talk about his adaptation to 9.5, 10 as a player, and that was exciting, but then he got this injury, and it kind of knocked everything back, and, you know, we're left thinking, when was the last time Harry Kane consistently played well for us? I mean, I love the guy. He's my favorite Spurs player of all time. I think he's magnificent, but I just want him to have a season of being fully fit. But obviously he's staying. We've then got a big decision to make. Fernando Llorente, Nathan, stay or go?
God, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what his wages are, to be fair. I think that would play a huge, because obviously he's sort of been around the world of football and he's had some decent pay packages at other clubs. So I don't know what kind of cut he may have taken to go to Swansea first and then to come to here. But I would definitely consider it. I think that, as we touched on earlier with Lucas and also with Son, let's take another step back. People are really keen for us to sign a backup centre forward, and it's probably not the biggest priority as we've looked over the rest of the squad. And it's, as we've also found out, really hard to get someone to come in to be second choice behind Harry Kane and to be good when they play. Llorente has very recently, very clearly proven what he can do, which is his ability in the air. If you take that as a given and then look at our options with Lucas and Son, maybe you probably just keep our forwards as they are. The only other argument is that if you think that Kane is down to 20 games a season, then it's more urgent.
Buddy, are you pretty much in agreement with that?
No, I think Llorente needs to go because we're looking at Premier League here. We're discussing the Premier League, and
okay.
I'm going to set aside all the emotion and everything else that he did in the Champions League, which is a different style of football. In the Premier League, I don't think he's been that useful. One goal, four assists. I think maybe most of them were against Watford. I just don't think he offers us enough. And there has to be a prospect, a player. The first name that comes into my head is a Tammy Abraham type of player.
Oh, someone hell who's, yes.
Who needs to learn, who's willing to work alongside Kane, knowing in effect that you're going to get games because Kane now for a few years in a row has been unable to stay fit for the whole season. So there's appearances to be made, there's Champions League, there's Premier League. I think we need to put Llorente aside. Thank you very much for all your contributions, but we need to start thinking bigger than Llorente.
You've won me round, buddy, especially by suggesting Tammy Abraham, who I adore. But yeah, no, we've got to think bigger than Llorente, you're right.
And I was going to make a case for Llorente based solely on his Champions League performances, but you're right. Let's go full Drogon on Llorente and Vincent Janssen.
Well, you got to remember, Peter Crouch was a really effective Champions League footballer, but he wasn't that effective in the Premier League. It's different there. And I don't think it's worth keeping Llorente around just for Plan B in the Champions League.
Okay, let's finish by saying some nice things about Heung-min Son, who, for me, was our player of the season. I thought Son carried us through a long stretch of games where he was a match winner. He was scoring with his left foot, he was scoring with his right foot, he was scoring from inside the box, he was scoring from outside the box, and he was getting us off our seats every time he got the ball. Now, he ended the season poorly, and I think that's had a bit of an impact on the perception of his year as a whole. But for me, he really went up a level this year, and we got better performances out of him. And I think the main thing with Son is he played too many games. Not for Spurs, necessarily, but for Spurs and for South Korea combined. And I think if we can better manage the number of minutes his legs take next year, I honestly think he could be our star man. And I think he is an absolute treasure to have in our squad. And I just love Heung-min Son. Nathan, how do you feel about Son's season and what next year could hold for him?
Yeah, I think you've said it really well there. He's always been a player who sort of has on periods and off periods, and that's fine. We accept that. You know, that's just the player he is. I think he's a good shout for player of the season. I would probably go Vertonghen over him, but I think it's close. Yeah, he's had a brilliant season, even if it doesn't feel like it over the last couple of weeks.
And Bardi, Son, for you, how do you feel about him?
Oh, he's a lovely footballer. I'm very happy with his season. As you said, he's turned into a match winner. He gives us something which none of our other strikers have really. He's dangerous off either foot, and he scores big goals. And I do think the last couple of weeks after the Man City away game, and then getting sent off in Bournemouth, and then missing suspensions, I do think that's had a kind of knock-on effect. But he did have a great season. I still would have gone Sissoko as my player of the year, but he's a brilliant player. And yeah, you're right. We need to manage his game time a little bit better, and hopefully he's got the summer off. I don't think South Korea are doing anything this summer anyway.
And let's finish with our final thoughts on the season. So we'll start with Bardi.
Yeah, I think for us, Champions League qualification was the most important thing to do. Putting aside our Champions League final appearances, that's an added bonus. I think the key thing was to get this squad, manage this squad through the season. It's been a tough year with World Cup, stadium and everything else, not signing any players. So getting in the Champions League and now being able to relax, putting aside the way the narrative... Can you imagine if we'd finished fifth? There would be... Everybody would be talking about Dele Alli's going, this guy's going, everyone's going. We've got something to look forward to next year, and we've got something to build upon. It wasn't great, but it was good enough.
Just getting the job done, basically.
Exactly. And then next year, right from the go, new stadium and everything else, let's push on from there with some new players.
And Nathan, how about you?
My takeaway from the season is that Poch, you know, is even better than I thought he was. He really is magic, you know. This squad is an abomination. I think we would have had a miserable, miserable season under any of our previous managers for the last, you know, 20, 30 years, whatever. Poch, you know, incredible.
So I'm going to slightly disagree with that. And I think he needs to be seen as wonderful in terms of his coaching and the performances he can get out of a set of players who, like you say, are not nowhere near as good as he's made them seem. But I also think he needs to take responsibility for that, because he's not just a head coach now. He's our manager. He's in charge, ultimately, of shaping the squad. And I think... I hope he's learned a lesson from this year, because he chose not to sign players. We could have signed players and he chose not to. And I refuse to believe otherwise. And if he's not going to sign players, then he needs to at least develop players from within the youth team to become viable options. And he's just got us to fourth. He's amazing in terms of what he can do on the coaching field, what he can do. Even I think he's developed as a manager during games. I think he's genuinely changed a couple of games this year in our favour, which has been wonderful to see. But I really hope he's learned his lesson and that he'll go into a transfer market and take control of rebuilding this squad for next season.
Do you think it was perhaps arrogance on his part to think he could manage this squad through that? Is that why he opted not to buy any players or sign anybody on loan?
I think partly arrogance, I think partly stubbornness. I think, I don't know, I get that Daniel Levy is difficult and he probably has limits on what he'll pay for certain players, but I absolutely refuse to believe that we weren't willing to sign anyone. I think Jack Grealish is one example that we could have gone for, and maybe Poch just said, you know, he's good, but he's not that good. But actually, Grealish would have been really helpful this year, as it turned out. I think he's got into a bit of a pickle with his fullbacks. I think he's got into a pickle with his central midfield, and really that's on Poch. So yes, I think he's wonderful. I think he's the best manager in my lifetime. I think, you know, the fact that he's got us into the Champions League final is absolutely unbelievable. But I hope he's learned his lesson and that he learns that the squad is his responsibility ultimately, and he needs to reshape it for next year, because I don't think we'll finish fourth next year if we don't sign any players this summer. Mm-hmm. Particularly if Eriksen and Alderweireld was. Sorry to be negative. That feels like a very negative ending to a positive pod, because actually, you know, he's great. I love almost everything about the man, and the fact that he's got us into the Champions League final is unbelievable. But yeah, just bringing some realness there.
Reminds me of Game of Thrones, a really strong beginning and a terrible ending.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Have you seen the meme where there's a drawing of a horse, and then season 8 is just a drawing of a dick? I'm the dick. I'm the dick here. Let's end it there. Bardi, lovely to speak to you.
No worries, Chris. Thank you very much.
And Nathan.
Nice
we'll
one, mate.
We'll be back very soon to talk about the Champions League. We'll talk about the Champions League. We're going to talk about Tottenham Hotspur being in the Champions League final. What world are we living in?
It's crazy, man.
Can you imagine that there's going to be like little hut somewhere where there's like 30 people gathered around this tiny little TV to watch the Champions League final, and they're like, who's playing? It's just like Tottenham. They're like, who? You know how they always show this, the World Cup or the finals being streamed everywhere around the world? There's going to be people looking at our team going, who are these? What's this team with their funny name? It's going to be great.
Imagine if we win.
Imagine.
Oh my God. Boys, it's been a pleasure. Bye-bye. Until next time.
It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock.
Oh, that was really interesting, mate. Yeah.